Would you please turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 6 and verse 13? Judges chapter 6 and verse 13. This last fall, when I was preaching on Gideon, this statement by Gideon struck me as I was actually in the process of trying to think what we would do for this year to prepare ahead, and this thought struck me as being so relevant to today in many people's thinking. In Judges chapter 6 and verse 13, and Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? A lot of people are probably thinking, well, where is God? If everything is happening in the world like it is, where is God that he would allow all these things to happen? And I thought, you know, we need to appreciate the fact that God is very much involved in the affairs of men, whether we see it tangibly or it's as clear as we think it ought to be or not. God has not forsaken us. He has always been involved in the affairs of men. He still is involved in the affairs of men. He's very much present, and he very much sees everything that is going on. So, our theme for this year is God involved in the affairs of men. We're going to begin at the beginning of the Old Testament, and we're going to work chronologically through the Bible and look at the major events that demonstrate to us the different ways that God has been involved in the affairs of men and the lessons that we can learn from that, the applications that we can make for the present day. So let's go back to begin in Genesis chapter 3. And you say, Adam and Eve again. How many times do we talk about Adam and Eve? You know, I think I could preach an entire year's sermon on Genesis chapter 3. There's so many things to learn from Adam and Eve. But we won't spend all our time this morning in Genesis chapter 3. I hope you're prepared to turn a little bit. You've flexed your finger muscles a bit, and we're going to turn to a few passages this morning, and I'll read some that I won't have you turn to. But we're going to talk about this subject. No one gets away with anything. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for your word that tells us about you. Lord, last year we studied a lot about the people that you told us about in your word. This year we want to study about you personally, to see what you are like, the way you think, the way you act, the way you're involved in our lives. So I pray for your help, even as we begin this new year and this new theme and this new study, that you would lay some foundational thoughts in our hearts and minds that will give us confidence day by day that in spite of all of the things that are happening around us, we still know that you are very personally involved. And we can trust you to do all things well. So bless our study this morning, and we ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a very big error that many people make when they think about God, and it is this. They say to themselves, because we cannot see God, neither can he see us. There is a considerable list of places in the scripture where something along this line is stated. I'm not going to have you refer to all of these verses. There are too many of us for us to flip back. Let me just read through some of these statements that we find in the Bible. Job chapter 22, verses 13 and 14. How doth God know? Can he judge through the dark cloud? Thick clouds are a covering to him that he seeth not. Psalm 10. In the passage in verses 11 to 13, we find this statement. God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Psalm 59, verse 7. Behold, they belch out with their mouth, swords are in their lips. For who, say they, doth hear? Psalm 64 and verse 5. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privately. They say, who shall see them? Psalm 73, verse 11. How doth God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Psalm 94 and verse 7, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Isaiah 29 and verse 15, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 12, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. Ezekiel 9 and verse 9, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. And Malachi chapter 2 and verse 17, where is the God of judgment? In many different time periods, stated in many different ways, but a similar thought, men think that God isn't looking. Bad mistake. It's just wrong. God sees all. But ever since Adam and Eve, people have had the thought that they can do something against God or contrary to God and get away with it. Do you think Adam and Eve thought they could eat of the fruit that was forbidden to them and get away with it? Well, if they didn't think that, why did they eat the fruit? Now, Eve clearly understood the forbidden part. Genesis chapter 3, in verse 1, the serpent asks, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And in verse 2, the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, whether or not she understood what death was, the point is she understood that the fruit was forbidden, and by eating of it, there was a consequence. So, the serpent's approach was to cancel out the consequence in Eve's thinking. Verse 4. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Cancel out the consequence. What's the problem in doing it? There's no consequence, then I can do it. And we are only aware of God's presence when his voice comes into the garden. Remember, it was later on in verse 8 that the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day that Adam and Eve became aware of his presence. Even then, for Adam and Eve, there were times of the day when they were not able to see God or sense his physical presence. And so they looked at the food in verse 6. It looked good for food. There were plenty of the fruit on the tree. Surely we can eat one and God won't miss it. God won't notice. The fruit from the tree will act like any other food in our bodies. In fact, it will even enlighten us. And everything will be okay. One of the things that Adam and Eve didn't understand was God didn't have to see what they were doing to know that they were doing it. Because there is this very important doctrine called the foreknowledge of God. God knew what they were going to do before they did it. Go to Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 10. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 10. Even if we thought at the present moment when we do this thing that God isn't watching us, we still can't get away with it because God has this divine ability to know everything before it happens. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 10. I'll begin reading in verse 9, where he says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning." You understand what he means by that. He says when he is in the beginning of something, he can tell you what the end of it is. He declares what the end is from the beginning. He knows what the end is in the beginning. He knows what's going to happen. And then he says, "And from ancient times, he declares the things that are not yet done." God tells you what's going to happen because he knows. He has this foreknowledge. Would you go, please, to Romans chapter 8 and verse 29? Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, where it says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Being conformed to the image of his Son is another way of expressing our glorification at the time of the rapture. And we are predestinated to be glorified. Now, the scripture never says we are predestinated to be saved. Predestination in the Bible always has to do with glorification. But he foreknew people. He foreknew who would believe in Jesus Christ and be saved. And those whom he foreknew, those who he also predestinated. Foreknew. It's actually the Bible word, the Greek word, is actually an English word that we're familiar with. It's the word prognosis. Prognosis. Telling you what's going to happen. You have a cold. The prognosis is you're going to get better. Now, the prognosis is different than the diagnosis. The diagnosis is you have a cold. The prognosis is you're going to get better. How do we know before you get better, how do we know you are going to get better? Because, as a rule, people who have colds get better. When I was a child, there was a prognosis given to us as children that was supposed to make us feel better when we had boo-boo or something, you know. You get a cut on your finger and a Band-Aid on it and you're crying because it hurt. And my sister would say to me, "Oh, it'll get better before you get married." did anybody ever have that? Remember that? I don't think we say that anymore. But they used to say that to me when I was a kid. "Oh, you're going to be... I'm 6 years old. I have a cut on my finger. It's going to get better before I get married. I'm not going to get married until I'm 23 years old. It's going to take 17 years for this thing to get better." That was the prognosis. What's going to happen? They knew it was going to get better before I got married. You know what? It did. Got better before I was married. The prognosis. To know before. How does God know before things happen? Because he's God. That's one of the unique things about God. Remember Isaiah 46? "There's nobody like me. I'm the only one that there is like me. I am God and I am God alone. And I know the end from the beginning. From ancient times I can tell you things that have not yet happened. I know beforehand." Why can we not get away with anything? Because God knows before you're going to do it that you're going to do it. He doesn't have to see it. He knows everything beforehand. So, then there is this. Because God knows everything beforehand, God knew before he created man what man would do. And so, even before he created man, God had a plan. Here's what God did before creation. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. We have a series of about six verses here we're going to look at. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. It says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is an eternal purpose that God the Father purposed in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I'll connect that to his foreknowledge and pre-creation in the last of this series of verses that we'll look at. But lay that thought in your mind. God established an eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So in verse 19, Christ, who shed his blood as a lamb without blemish and without spot. The kind of lamb that was used in sacrifices on the altar in the temple that the Israelites would be familiar with. We're talking about a sacrificial lamb spilling his blood. And this precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, was foreordained. Christ was foreordained before the foundation of the world to be that lamb who would spill his blood. Before creation ever took place, God the Father purposed in Jesus Christ this eternal purpose to have his Son spill his blood in payment for mankind's sin, who at that point did not yet even exist. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life. Book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now it's talking about worshiping the Antichrist, but those that worship the Antichrist are the ones who don't have their names in the book of life. And it's the book of life of the Lamb. Which Lamb? The Lamb that is slain from the foundation of the world. You see, because God foreordained Christ to be the Lamb who would spill his blood for our sins before the foundation of the world, it was as good as done even before creation ever took place. So, Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Before the world began, God promised eternal life. Before creation ever took place, before Adam and Eve were created and put it in the Garden of Eden, before there was the earth that was void without form, before light, before any creation ever took place, God promised eternal life to a creature that had not yet come into existence. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him. Isn't it wonderful to know that we have been chosen in Jesus Christ? That's who he's talking about. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us in him. But when did he choose us in him? According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. I'm going to add one more verse in here before we get to the last one. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Here it says the same thing, only it uses the word elect. The word chosen, the word elect, same word, same concept, same thing. Elect, chosen, elect, according to what? The foreknowledge of God the Father. Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Because before God ever created mankind, he knew that mankind would sin and they would need a Savior. And he created this, established this eternal purpose in his Son, Jesus Christ, that he would be a lamb slain and shed his blood for the sins of mankind. And God foreknew all of those who would believe in Jesus Christ. And all of those whom he foreknew that would believe in Jesus Christ, he chose those to be glorified in Christ and to have eternal life. You see, he didn't choose us to be saved. He knew we would believe. He knew beforehand we would believe. And because he knew we would believe, he chose us who would believe to be glorified in Christ. That's what he did before the world ever began. Before the foundation of the world, before man was ever created. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Remember Ephesians 3:11, the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus? Here it is. That he has saved us and called us with a holy calling according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So before creation, God knew man was going to sin. Before creation, God knew man would need a Savior. And before creation, God prepared the plan to save men. So in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve decided to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God was not surprised by that. He wasn't surprised. He anticipated it. He knew beforehand that Adam and Eve would eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that they would need to be saved from their sinfulness. And so before creation, he prepared all of that. But not only does he know beforehand, he does see everything take place as it is happening. I'll just read down through these verses. Job chapter 31 and verse 4. Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? Did you ever count your steps when you walk? I've done that. When I pick a place where I'm going to walk, I want to know how far I walk. And I, you know, a stride is generally about a yard. So there's 1,760 yards in a mile. So if you count 1,760 steps, you've gone a mile. It takes a little concentration to count all your steps, though. You ever lose count? I mean, that's a long way to count, 1,760 steps. Let's see, where was that 900 or was that 800? Did you know that God counts our steps? Job said it. Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? Elihu, later on in the book of Job, Job 34, verse 21, said, for his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. There is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 24, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? And Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto his eyes of him with whom we have to do. He sees it all. He sees everything we're doing. He knows before you're going to do it that you're going to do it. And then he sees you do it. It is impossible to escape from him. We read from Psalm 139 in our scripture reading this morning. Where are you going to go to get away from the presence of God? If I go here, he's there. If I go there, he's here. He's everywhere, and he sees it all. And here's the thing. He judges man for his sin. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 10. Would you go there, please? Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 10. Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart. Remember Hebrews chapter 4, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword and divides asunder. Down into the depths of the inner man, even separating the thoughts and intents of the heart. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, the seat of your emotions. He not only knows what you're thinking, he knows what you're feeling. He knows it all. And here's why. Even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. To give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We must be careful to understand that God is aware of what is going on in our lives. And God is very much aware of what is going on in the world today. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And go to Romans chapter 2, verse 3. The Lord will deal with all men. No one gets away with anything. Romans chapter 2 and verse 3. He says, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them that which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Do you think you're going to get away with it? A lot of people think they're going to get away with what they're doing. Either God doesn't see, or God has left the earth and has forsaken it and isn't watching, isn't paying attention anymore, or there isn't a God, or for whatever reason. People in this world think they're going to get away with what they're doing. They're going to escape the judgment of God. Verse 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, to them he will give eternal life. But unto them who are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be indignation and wrath and tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. No one gets away with anything. God knows what you're going to do before you do it. God sees you doing it when you do it. And God will deal with you, as he dealt with Adam and Eve. For he came into the garden in the cool of the day. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto them, where art thou? Now, did God call out to Adam and Eve and say, where are you? Because he didn't know where they were. Did he not know where they were? Oh, I don't see them. Where are they? It's sort of like that game, hide and seek, you play with a child, you know? Oh, where did Nate go? Played that with you when you were a baby, I'm sure. Where did Nate go? Whoop, whoop. You know, does the parent not know where Nate, you know, did I not know where Nate was? Sure. You know, he's right behind the sheet of paper or the blanket or whatever, you know? Nowhere where. God knows where he was. Knew where Adam and Eve was. Why did he say, where art thou? Not because he didn't know where they were. It was because he was giving mankind an opportunity to confess where they were. For in confession there is repentance. And in repentance, there is acceptance of God's salvation, which he planned for us before we ever sinned. Listen. No man will ever get away with anything. But God is willing to forgive everything. If you will be honest with him about what you have done and will trust what he has done, that you could not do for yourself. God will not let any man get away with anything, but he is willing to forgive everything if you will confess your sin and trust in his Son and receive what he prepared before you were ever created to rescue you from your lost estate. God is a merciful God, but he's a just God. He knew what you were going to do before you did it. He saw you do it, but he wasn't surprised by anything. He was prepared for it. Before the foundation of the world, he prepared his Son as a sacrifice for your sin. If you believe that, and you'll confess where you are, he'll forgive you everything, no matter what. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today. As you present the gospel to others in this coming year, understand, they need to know. They need to understand. They're not going to get away with anything. God will hold them accountable for their sin, but he's willing to forgive them everything if they will believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. What a gracious and merciful God we have. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this truth about you. What you know, what you see, and what you have planned for us before we were ever created. It's a marvelous thing. Help us to appreciate so much more what you have done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to be more accountable to you on a daily basis, understanding that you see all, you know all. You know all before it ever happens. But you are so merciful, so willing to forgive. Help us as your children to be willing to confess on a daily basis where we are. For as we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness on a daily basis, all because of what Jesus Christ did for us, even from before the foundation of the world, and particularly on the cross of Calvary, and that marvelous historical event where Jesus paid the price for all our sin. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for knowing all, for understanding all, for planning all we need, and for your willingness to forgive everything when we come to you in confession and repentance. Bless these truths to our hearts and prepare us for a year of witness and service that will bring honor and glory to your name. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.